Welcome to a special CI Center podcast talking about CI Center courses. Today we're talking with David Major, president of the CI Center, about 205, National Security Policy and Counterintelligence Implications of Denial and Deception Practices. David, can you tell us a little bit about this course and why someone should take it?
This course has a very broad appeal. It is unique in what it brings to the table in 3 days. Feedback from the students has said they've never heard anything course quite like this. And there's really two dimensions of what this course is. The first part of it is to try to understand that how is it that transnational actors and other nations try to manipulate the United States into either changing their foreign policy or their national policy by getting them engaged in their problems or their issues, or how they want to create the United States to have a neutral approach towards the world and force the United States to back away from the world. And we realize in this course that this effort done by nations are done in their own national interest. Any country in the world that looks at the United States and looks at the United States' decision-making process has really two options. Let the United States do what the United States is going to do, and I'll take the consequences to it. This is everything from Kuwait after Iraq invaded them in 1990 to Great Britain during the startup of World War II, when it started for Great Britain in 39 and then the United States didn't get involved in 41. To go back to World War I, when Europe went to war in 1914, the United States never got involved until 1917. You can look at any kind of event in the world, whether it has to do with terrorism or international relations, that any other country can say, I'll let the United States do what the United States is going to do, I'll take the consequences. Or they can say, how do I affect the United States' decision-making process? I can use diplomatic approach, I can use military pressure, or I can use a policy deception. Now, deception isn't always about lying, because that's a great misperception. A denial and deception operation is, in fact, enhancing or devaluing the truth in an effort to affect the decision-making, taking something and making it real, think that the United States did it on their own. And so this course examines that process. The Russians in the old Soviets did this with a process they called active measures and operational games, in which they would try to manipulate the decision-making made by the United States and also try to manipulate the way other nations saw the United States and affecting their view of the United States. And so this course examines that in great detail. We look at how policy denial and deceptions were done by our allies and how they've been done by our adversaries over a period of time. And we look for the commonality of it. We see this happening today. We see it happening with the terrorists, with their use of the internet. We see it happening today as the world looks at the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we see the manipulation of the media that's been done over a period of time by a variety of actors. That one of the things that we bring up in the class is an interview by a member of the media who says the only free way of having a decision is by letting a free media report the truth. Well, he doesn't realize that he may believe that the free media reports the truth, but there are also many examples in which the free media turns out to be either wittingly or unwittingly manipulated by other actors, whether sometimes we've had journalists who have been recruited as witting agents, and sometimes not. A good example that comes as a great surprise to many of our students is that someone like Walter Winchell, who was an icon of the media world, was in fact a paid agent of British secret intelligence during World War, leading up to the United States being involved in World War II. That piece of history has only recently surfaced, where he was an icon and he was a very significant, influential journalist. He also was a paid agent in British intelligence in an effort to try to get the United States to become engaged in the war. We use many examples of this in the course. And part of the course is how it is that the nation makes the decision. And I was on the White House staff. I was on the National Security Council during the Reagan administration. And that was an epiphany for me because I began to realize how intelligence is processed, used by the big decision makers. And so I talk in great detail about how intelligence comes into the White House and how the people that are targeted there to change or manipulate their views can be done unwittingly by foreign actors. That's kind of a great revelation for many people. So we talk about that. Another half of the course, a day and a half, is a discussion of the great deceptions, operational games that were used by the Russians and the Soviets to protect two of the great spies in American history. Often when we look at a man like Rick Ames, who was a spy for the Russians from the Soviets from 1985 to then the Russians in 94, or Bob Hansen, who in fact was a Russian agent from 79 to his arrest in 2001, and he was active three different periods during that era. A simple question, why? Was American intelligence asleep at the wheel? What was counterintelligence doing? This course explains the very sophisticated programs that were run by the KGB and today's SVR to protect these two sources in what they call operational games. As a matter of fact, on our website, we have a chart called Operational Games that lays out many of the cases, and we weave them all together. By the end of that 12-hour segment, the students have a much deeper understanding of what can actually be done against the nation to protect some of its great sources, and or some of the sources being run against us. And so that is in there. Now, we end it with sort of a crescendo, because there we bring in Oleg Kalugin, who is a master of running active measures programs against the United States, setting up newspapers, planting articles in the journals, and planting articles in newspapers, recruiting journalists, manipulating American public perception, getting forgery exemplaries that were used, involved with creating forgeries. And many of the students are, they've never heard about this before. They're unaware of it. It's the part of intelligence that is probably one of the least understood, that it's not all about stealing secrets, but it's about manipulating opinions and perceptions. And so at the end of that four-hour segment, they really have a different view, because he was very, very good at it. Because I will tell you that both the former KGB and the former Russia and today's Russia are very good at running operational games and active measures. So at the end of 3 days, people have a much deeper and richer understanding of this real national security issue.
I've heard a Russian defector or Soviet defector actually say that he had trouble understanding the U.S. focus on active measures or denial of deception, because that was so intertwined with their entire job that it wasn't a separate issue like it is in America.
That's a very good point, because if you were to look at other services and you say, to what degree do they do active measures and operational games, there's a great misunderstanding in American national security community that it wasn't important, that intelligence services are really in the secret stealing business. And my Russians who work here at the center will tell you, no, it is the exploitation of stolen secrets for foreign policy objectives, which is the real heart and soul of those services. And that's not understood by many people. This course has great value for, first, anybody in the national security community who wants to understand the process, understand what is actually going on in the world, so they can look at it with a different set of lenses, if you would. But it's also important for almost anybody who's a citizen to understand and be able to interpret what we see in the news every night. What we see when we open up the newspaper and we see a huge advertisement for some event. Oleg talks about planting such articles in the newspaper where the hand of the KGB was hidden. And some people say, well, this is, you know, this appears to be, you know, paranoia, and yet we have people that we talk about in our talk in our class to our students who actually did it. It's a big difference between thinking, do people do this? And the answer, yes, they actually do this. Well, a good example that we talk about in the class is who shot our president. I'm talking about Kennedy. And there's over 1,000 books and articles that have been written about it. It was a great conspiracy. It was done by the CIA. It was done by the mafia. It was done by some sinister forces in America. And that whole concept that got started was, in fact, started by the KGB trying to create the illusion that the decision that killed the president was actually done within the government. We see that today. because we now realize that we have people saying 9/11 really done by the government, that the buildings really were not taken down by two planes. They were taken down by an implosion. Is a conspiracy done by the CIA or Israel's Mossad? The shameful thing is this is actually taught in some American colleges. We have college professionals, and shame on them, who are teaching this to young people, that this is some right-wing conspiracy, because people want to believe in the concept of the great conspiracy. What you really find out is that the conspiracy is fed back so that people will embrace that as an explanation of a world they can't explain. So this course is a very revealing course that talks with the practitioners who have actually done it and tries to debunk some of the great misunderstandings. I will tell you that most people who have taken the course have a great emotional response to it, because we want to believe what we want to believe, what we believe to be the truth. If challenged, what you often do is it makes people very angry to believe what I was taught the truth is not the truth. And so they tend to have an emotional ride in this course to realize many of the things they thought were core beliefs, in fact, they were being victimized by an active measures or a deception operation run against them. And so that also makes this course a really great emotional ride for 3 days.
So active measures is not just a Soviet, old Soviet communism problem that ended with the Cold War, but is continuing today with Russia and the fundamentalist Islamic threat?
The method of running active measures was taught to many nations around the world and many players around the world, and it has been practiced by many terrorist organizations around the world.
Who taught them?
But they were taught by the KGB. Mm-hmm. The KGB, in fact, we talk about that in the course. We make a list of who is it that the KGB taught how to use this methodology. Then we actually look at examples of it being played out by other nations other than Russia, and you see very specific examples of it being run in the Middle East by some of the terrorist organizations, and what is behind it. Because once you learn how to think this way, you can actually begin to see it happening. But if you're not aware of it, you can also become victimized by it.
Okay, if you want more information about this course, please see our website, cicenter.com. That's cicenter.com. Or call us at 703-642-7450 or toll free 1-800-779-4007.